Translation. Lord Sri Krishna was lying down underneath the handcart in one corner of the courtyard. And although his little legs were as soft as leaves, when he struck the cart with his legs, it turned over violently and collapsed. The wheels separated from the axle, the hubs and spokes fell apart, and the pole of the handcart broke. On the cart there were many little utensils made of various metals, and all of them scattered hither and thither. Don't hear hither and thither very much, do you, these days? But it's beautiful. Srila Prabhupada's purport, Srila Vishvanath Chakravarti Thakur has mentioned on this verse as follows. When Lord Krishna was of a very tender age, his hands and legs resembled soft new leaves. Yet simply by touching the handcart with his legs, he made the cart fall to pieces. It was quite possible for him to act in this way, and yet not exert himself very much. The Lord in his Vamana avatar had to extend his foot to the greatest height to penetrate the coverings of the universe. And when the Lord killed the gigantic demon Hiranyakashipu, he had to assume the special bodily features of Narasimhadev. But in his Krishna avatar, the Lord did not need to exert such energy. Therefore, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. In other incarnations, the Lord had to exert some energy according to time and circumstance. But in this form, he exhibited unlimited potency. Thus, the handcart collapsed, its joints broken, and all the metal pots and utensils scattered. The Vaishnava Tushani remarks that although the handcart was higher than the child could easily touch the wheel of the cart, and this was sufficient to send the demon down to the earth. The Lord simultaneously pushed the demon to the earth and superficially broke the handcart. So the translation was, Lord Sri Krishna was lying down under the handcart in one corner of the courtyard, and although his little legs were soft as leaves, when he struck the cart with his legs, it turned over violently and collapsed. The wheels separated from the axle, the hubs and spokes fell apart, and the pole of the handcart broke. On their cart there were many little utensils made of various metals, and all of them scattered hither and thither. Om again and Timurana Shakan Anjana Shakaya Chakshur Omanitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pistaya Bhutale Simati Shiva Ram Swami Tanamani. Glorious Srila Prabhupada. My apologies for the struggling with the Sanskrit. Just couldn't get it together. But I had a few practices last night, but I went to bed thinking, forget it, have another go tomorrow. But it didn't really work out so good. So thank you for those who could say it nicely. So has it been mentioned in the other classes about the demon who possessed the handcart at the time? Has it been mentioned about him or not? Did it say about his background? Don't want to mention it. Okay, I don't want to repeat it. But in the Garga Samhita, it says that this demon was a ghost, actually, and that he was one of the cohorts of Kamsa in this lifetime to give Krishna some difficulties and the residents of Braj. In his previous existence, he was Utkacha, and he was either the son or the cousin, the nephew of Hiranyakashipu. And one day, he was a very powerful person, as anybody who was related to him is going to be. And he was at Lomasa Muni's ashram, and he started showing off, cutting loose a bit, showing his strength, and he knocked down some of these beautiful trees. And Lomasa Muni cursed him to become a ghost. And so he was really, deprived of this body that he was so proud of. And so then when he realized his big, big mistake, he said, please forgive me some or other. Can you show some mercy to me? So the sages and the saints are always merciful. And their curses always end up somehow being a blessing in the end, isn't it? So he said, okay, you can become a ghost in Krishna's Leela. And in Vaivashvat Manu's time, this was in Chakshusa Manu's time. And he said, long time to wait, but you will get the mercy of Krishna. You'll have Krishna's lotus feet upon you, which is a pretty nice blessing, isn't it? Had to wait a long time. But he got that as decreed by Lord Masamuni. So, don't know if you knew that story anyway, but I just thought that was worthwhile mentioning to you. And also, of course, Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions all the different anartas that each of the demons that Krishna kills represents. And this one represents baggage. Baggage that we've collected in this life and in previous lives. And of course, we're in Krishna consciousness to get rid of that baggage. And that's a nice little... So Prabhupada mentions in his purport both Vamana Avatara and Narsingha Avatara. Just in a circuitous way, I'm going to get back to the past time. But just, I was thinking about all the different avatars and all the different incredible pastimes that are displayed by the avatars and all the... And there's six types of avatars that come, that get involved in the creation in one way or another. And I thought it would be nice to just get us to remember by going through this whole thing, the position of Krishna. Ishvara Paramaha Krishna Satchit Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. So Krishna is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Godhead. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin at all. And he is the prime cause of all causes. So here's Krishna appearing to us or into this world only a few thousand years ago. When you take the one day of Brahma, he comes once in one day of Brahma, which is 8,430,000,000 years. 8,430,000,000. This is one of his days. And Krishna comes just once in that time. So we're so fortunate that it's only kind of yesterday, really, that he was here. And he offers offers himself to us by his avatar. Actually, he's called Avatari because he's the one who sends all the avatars. So from him, as we all know, you probably have heard it 1,000 times, but it's always worthwhile mentioning some or other, if you like, the succession that comes from Krishna, from his expansions. So Baladeva or Balaram is first. And then from him, the Chaturvyuha come, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Vasudeva, and Sankarshan. And then from them, another second Chaturvyuha come, who get involved in the creation. And from Sankarshan comes Mahavishnu. So now we're really getting into the creation now, because previously we're talking about expansions in the spiritual world. So we have Mahavishnu. And Mahavishnu, he has, within Mahavishnu is the Pradhan, which is the latent or potent energy of the Mahatattva. So it's like a fantastic, you know, the scientists talk about the cosmic soup, you know, or whatever, you know, they use that sometimes, you hear them speak about that. But that soup or that those ingredients are incredible. I've made some notes of them over here because it's such an interesting ingredient. There's a thing on television. I don't watch it, but I've heard about it. I'm not interested in cooking, unfortunately. I'm only interested in eating. there's 24 elements, this pradhan, which later becomes the Mahatattva when it gets energized by the Lord. And these elements are the five subtle, five gross, the five knowledge acquiring, and the five working senses, and the four internals. And you can imagine them all laid out on the board, like the chef lays out all the different ingredients before he starts to cook, isn't it? Have you seen that sometime? So the first five are this sound, touch, feeling, color, taste, and what's the other one? What? Taste. No, that's the working senses. Anyway, so and then we come to the five gross. The five subtle and the five gross. They are air, fire, earth, and water, and ether, isn't it? Everyone knows that one. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, it gives the eight, but the five gross are the air, fire, earth, water, and ether. Then we've got the knowledge acquiring senses. Anyone knows them? If you think about it, how do we acquire knowledge? Through the ears, the skin, through the tongue, the eyes, and the nose. I'll just jot them down because sometimes I forget. The five working senses, the mouth, the hands, the arms, the legs, the genitals, the anus, and the four internal subtle senses, which are mind, the intelligence, and the ego, with the fourth one, which is contaminated consciousness. So we got, it's all here on the chopping block. It's all there. And then Mahavishnu adds into that collection of ingredients time. And when he adds that time into it, then it starts to become agitated. So then it starts to add them all together and the cosmic soup is created. And then it becomes Mahatattva. Then he looks at it, and it's like, what did I say? I put some words down. It was interesting. Oh, yeah, the mixing and agitative element. So as he looks, he gives that, the time element goes in, and off it goes. And then the three modes of nature, which were actually dormant within it, they become activated. Before that, they weren't. But then they become activated. And then as he glances at it, the jivas also enter in. So the jivas, us, me and you, we're all inside his body having a little snooze there for a nighttime of Brahma for a long time. And then, but we still had issues. We've all got issues. Something that we wanted to do, someone that we wanted to become, some body that we wanted to achieve, some strength, some profit, some adoration or distinction. So it's a whole within him as he breathes this out. All of us lot come out into and receive the type of body that we are deserving of at that particular time. So that is inside of him is a place of a breeding ground where it's just about before the breeding actually takes place. Everyone comes out and all these different bodies and material objects are ready to be formed. Then from him, of course, comes Garbhadakshaya Vishnu. And Garbhadakshaya Vishnu lays down in the universe which has been formed now. I forgot to say that as he breathes out, the seed-like universes all come out of his pores. And they become universes. They begin to grow, and each one is covered with the Mahatattva. Each layer of the material elements cover it, each 10 times bigger than the others, until they become these massive universe, of which ours is one of the smallest. And then Garbhadakshaya Vishnu comes from him, enters in, and lays down on Anantashesh, and he's in charge of the creation, the creative process by which Brahma appears from the navel lake of his body. Out comes a lotus. On top of the lotus becomes Lord Brahma, and all those the lotus stem are the 14 universal systems, 7 above and 7 below, and of course he the sweat from his body creates the ocean, the Garbhadak ocean from which he lays on, and he then Brahma, who's the engineer of the universe and the secondary creator, gets about awarding bodies to the jivas, to us. What we started with and what we end up, hopefully, two different things. So just, I thought I'd make some notes there. Oh, and of the avatars, of course, who come in and who get involved, there are six types. The Purusha avatars, of course, Karanadakshai Vishnu, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshai Vishnu, and then Shiradakshai Vishnu comes from Garbhadakshai Vishnu, who enters into every heart of every person, into all the atoms, Ekopisa Rachayitam Jagadanda Kotim, in his fullness, in his completeness. Not just a token, but it's the Lord in his completeness. And he sits within each person's heart. And so that's the Purusha avatars. Then we've got the Leela avatars, of which there are in this Divya Yuga. Divya Yuga means the Satya, Treta, Dwarapa, and Kali. And the Divya Yuga, or a Maha Yuga, is the collection of those. And that's 4,320,000 years, something like that. That takes one cosmic turn. Takes that long. And in that time, the 14 Manus come. So the Manvantara avatars come. They're in charge of creation. They lay down the law at different times for what should be extant at that time and what we should, how we should follow to keep us safe and to keep us out of too much trouble. Most of us didn't listen, but like myself. And we've got Leela avatars also coming in. Krishna says, from age to age, from millennium to millennium, I'd vent myself. So he comes. I wonder if anyone can remember from the beginning of the Leela avatars to the end. Can anyone remember who the first one was? Matsya, well done. Second, well done. Third, Varaha, yeah, good. Fourth, Nrisingadev. Fifth, well done, Vamana. And then Parashuram. Then Lord Ram. Then, yeah, I think the in the books that I've read, Balaram is considered the avatar. Krishna's the avatari. But however, we could say Krishna. And then after Krishna, sorry, Buddha. And then Kalki. Fantastic, isn't it? And they're all for us. They're doing this work for us. Well, Krishna has a bit of fun on at the same time, of course. And then you've got the Yuga avatars, which are in charge of each Yuga. And they are, yes. Good. Thank you very much, Sachimata. Oh, you said yes as well, of course. We've got Lord Chaitanya, who's the Jana avatar, or the Gupta avatar, or the hidden avatar. So he's not mentioned in the 10, but he's mentioned in the esoteric literatures of Bhagavatam. Actually, he's mentioned in Vedas, in the Atharva Veda too. But he's hidden. So he's not amongst the 10. And in a sense, he's avatari as well as Krishna is, because he's the boss. He's the boss man. So the Yuga avatars, we've got them. You've got one is white in Satya Yuga, the next one is red in Treta, the next one is in Dwarapa Yuga is black or darkish, and then in Kali Yuga white. Yuga avatars, and then so we said the Gunas, we said the Leelas, Shaktivesh avatars, loads of them. Lord Jesus, Srila Prabhupada, lots of them. And they are living entities. They're not Vishnu Tattva, but they're living entities who are pure living entities who have no other desire or need or mandate than other to praise God and to establish God's, the Lord's super excellent situation, position. The Guna avatars, I didn't say about them. Anyone know who the Guna avatars are? Well done, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. And Lord Shiva is, in a sense, you could say he's in charge with Devi. He's in charge of this universe. He's the boss. There's all different types of bosses, but he's Krishna, who Krishna never gets involved in the running of the universe directly, but indirectly. Shiva is Krishna with his sleeves rolled up, ready to do the dirty work with the lower living entities, the ghosts, the ghouls, and all that. They all get shelter at Lord Shiva's side so that they can eventually become liberated as well. So, Shiram yatada divikara vishesh yoga sanjayate nahitata pridakastiyato yahashambhutam api samapaiti karyat, sorry, govinda maripursham tamham. Just as milk is transformed into curd by the action of acids, yet the curd is neither the same as nor different from milk. So I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, of whom the state of Shambhu, Shiva, is a transformation for the work of destruction in this world. So, you know, in Brahma Samhita, all of the explanations as to why things are like that, it's like a precis or a summary of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Ramadi Murtishu Kala Niyamena Tistan, Nanavatara Makarod, Bhuvaneshu Kintuhu, Krishna Swayam Samabhava Paramaha Pumanyo Govinda Maripursham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who manifested himself personally as Krishna and the different avatars of this world in the form of Rama, Narasimha, Vamana, etc. So if you look through the Brahma Samhita, you see this incredible, the incredible work that Krishna has put into giving us the opportunity to remember. It's non-stop. It's going all the time. Externally, all these things have happened, and internally, he's sitting within our heart as the Paramatma, waiting just for a chance to waken us up. And it's like I came in and I saw you giving this Prabhu, giving the, I don't know your name, Prabhu. What's your name, Prabhu? Bhakta? Stoyan. Oh, is that a Hungarian name?
No, Bulgarian.
Bulgarian. Because I remember there was a beautiful folk song that I loved. It was Stoyan winnows away the wheat. You know, when you, they in the old-fashioned days, they would winnow away the wheat and do that. No wonder you're so, you know, animated. And I was thinking, let's have some sweet sounds and some this and that. Where's the harmonium, you know? And after a while, I was thinking, yeah, Stoyan's got it together. He's the one. He's got the mercy here. He's enthusiastic. I wish I could be so enthusiastic. Thank you for that. So, yeah, I've got, I could never find the recording of that. I lost it. It was on Pi Records years and years ago. I got it. So beautiful. But it must have been a Bulgarian folk song. I thought it was Hungarian, but it's Bulgarian. You're right. You're right about where you were born. Oh, dear. Yahakara nara vajale bhajatisma yoga nidramananta jagananda saroma kupa atara shaktim avalambya swara smavutim govinda varipurisham. I'm not even woken up. You can see the modes are working on me, can't you? And this is, he explains Mahavishnu, how Mahavishnu is assumes his own great subjective form, bears the name of Shesh, replete with the all-accommodating potency. The all-accommodating potency Mahavishnu has is the pradhan inside him that he breathes out and manifests into the Mahatattva. So everywhere you look in Brahma Samhita, you see this incredible confirmation of what Prabhupada is telling us and has told us again and again and again and again. So we've the Yuga avatars, Shakti Vesha avatars, the Manvantara avatars, the three Guna avatars, the 10 prominent Leela avatars. We've mentioned them all. And the Lord of them all is just a little boy rolling in the dust and brudge and having a good laugh. It seems like he doesn't want anything to do with being God, isn't it? Like he's got hold of his conch and the wheel and the disc and gone, And Lord Vishnu runs in and quickly picks him up and goes, yeah, right, I got my job. And Krishna just like wants to get on with having a dance, with having a laugh. I mean, when you read some of the pastimes of Hare Krishna, when you read the pastimes of Krishna with the gopas, and the gopis, it's so hilarious. And the gopis always beat him up verbally, you know, and they make him like an idiot. And then Madhu Mangal, who was defending Krishna at the time, you know, with his fat tummy and his stick and his Brahmin thread, and he thinks, Krishna, just a second. You're going into the quicksand of the fallacious arguments of the gopis here. Let me just step in. And then Madhu Mangal gets completely torn to pieces philosophically and everythingly. And then, you can imagine someone with a stick and they're arguing away, and then you see them, it says Madhu Mangal starts to sort of scrape the sand with his stick. You know, you can see that it was like, you know, you can see like he was not very happy. And he said, oh, it's time for my morning duty. Oh, he didn't have a watch, sorry. It's time for my morning duties. And he disappears and leaves Krishna in the middle of these marauding gopis. Everyone's like, you know, and then other times Krishna's getting beaten in wrestling by, and then when he gets proud and he shows himself and Balaram to be the best dancers, then they say to him, and Krishna says, Balaram says, anyone else wants to come forward and dance after that? They dance after the boys have danced beautifully. Then Krishna and Balaram, you know, turn it on. And the juice comes through and they dance and everybody's clapping. And then they said, anyone else, you know. And then Krishna's so proud. And then I think it might have been Sridham says, but you've forgotten who your teacher is. Isn't it traditional and good, you know, isn't it good manners to thank your guru? You've manifested all this, but you got it from your guru, isn't it? And Krishna says, what? So he said, we've seen Radharani been teaching you, you know, she taught you. And like, he's so embarrassed. I don't know if Krishna can blush, but I'm sure he can manage it. And Krishna is so embarrassed. I mean, where's the kingship? Where's the lordship? It's gone to the distance. And that's how he likes it. There's a song in the seven. That's the way, he likes it. Krishna, that's the way he likes it. And so if you don't like the way he likes it, take another birth. Krishna's so kind that he'll give you, even if you don't believe him, he'll give you another birth based on your karma. So don't believe in him. Don't want anything to do with him. But you've done some good things, helped other people. So you come back, get a lovely body, good-looking wife. You know, a house on the hill for the ladies, a handsome husband, and whatever the ladies like. And but you won't get Krishna. He just goes to sleep and thinks, oh, there's nothing happening here. And he just lays back in your heart like that and just goes, and has a good snooze for a while, waiting for a few kalpas to pass until someone says, hey, are you happy being in that snake's body? Well, you know, it's quite good. You know, we get quite a few good rats and mice come this way. And, you know, it's amazing. Krishna's power is so great that his deluding energy is so powerful that when Indra got cursed to be a pig and the time for his curse came to an end, it said, you can come back. I quite like this. I like that bit. That's a really tasty, but that stall there with a little golden flecks in it, that's lovely. I love that. No, you're Indra. You've forgotten. So we've all forgotten. So Prabhupada's come to wake us up and we've been around at least for one day of Brahma, which is 4,320,000,000 years. And we might have been more, to our shame, isn't it? This is not a shaming class, by the way. This is a hopeful class. So we've got every reason, externally and internally, to think that there's some things need to change in our life. Whatever it is, you know, when I go away with a group and I'm after we come off stage, there's loads of people want autographs. And I think, I don't need this. You know, just writing my name. What use is writing my name on a poster or a record or something that they've bought, you know? So I just write, the others will write their full names, and I just write John, because that's who they know me as. And then I was speaking to Kaylee Chanchaly the other day, and she said to me, Jayadeva, why don't you think of other ways? Like, you could sign Jayadeva or Hare Krishna. And I thought, oh, yeah. So now we stand in a line when we sign autographs. The people come from one end and they go to the other. And what I do, I place myself now at the end. So if I'm slow, it doesn't matter. So when it comes to me, I write John, because that's what they want. Then I write Hare Krishna. And everyone, I'm going to keep that going until I can't play anymore, which might be soon. I'm nearly 70. Anyway, so, yeah, we can do something. Every one of us. I'm thinking, oh, I've extended myself to my full thing. I get the audience to chant Gauranga, sometimes Hare Krishna. That'll be me. Fine, you know. And I thought, no. Thanks for Kaylee Chanchaly. She said to put Hare Krishna on the poster. So we've just got to start to think, you know, how can we get this mercy that's there? Those devotees who are anxious for it, hungry for it, they get it. They get it for sure as eggs is eggs, they get it. And those who karmically cruise, I've got pretty good karma, so I can cruise a bit, they don't get anything. And they just end up being envious of the others instead of appreciative of the others. So here we are at the beginning of Kali Yuga. And it's not so long ago that the Lord himself appeared. And even a shorter time has passed since Lord Chaitanya was here. And Lord Chaitanya is more merciful than Krishna, and he's giving so much. And he's given so much and gives so much and will always give. And his desire is to have us home, otherwise he wouldn't have. He wants to empty this universe. He wants to, not just this world, but this universe. And he's given us this process of chanting Hare Krishna, which is simple and yet sublime. And Haridas Thakur has said that anyone, everyone, can get it. Anyone can avail themselves of this mercy. And for those non-moving entities, like we were saying, when Mahavishnu has the pradhan, and then he makes it into the Mahatattva by giving the time potency, and then injects the living entities, the living entities, and he makes the objects from which our bodies can be constructed, and the material objects as well. So you could say that a tree is a material object, but it's a person, like we're a person. And we're stuck in this human form, and they're stuck in a tree, but there's almost no difference except, of course, for the consciousness. But it's been explained in Bhagavad Gita that it's very simply we could assume a tree form by posing around and thinking that the body is a worshipable object and that we are worshipable objects because we own that body for a small amount of time. So, very quickly, if we live our life in that posing space, then we'll have a body in our next life which is more appropriate to posing. You know, and a tree can stand there posing for hundreds of years. And you know, when we want to gobble, 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 and use the senses for something other than the tongue, for chanting God's names and saying sweet things to others and encouraging others, and we just want to gobble, 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 then we find that this body, unfortunately, our old manager, I got a message from someone the other day. He's now 33 stone, and he's so heavy. He's in hospital at the moment, and he's just started to. They've saved him because he was going to die, and someone told me about it. So I decided, even though he still owes me money, I decided to pray for him. And he got better. I mean, he got better off life support and all that stuff. And then one of our friends went to see him, and he said something nice about me, which massaged my false ego even more. He said, oh, yeah, John was the most unselfish person I ever met. So I thought, well, I better pray for him a bit more, you know. Anyway, he's 33 stone. And I gobble, 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 gobble. And the thing is, not, you know, please forgive me, Roy, for this, but the human form is not good for that. Pig's body's great for it. So if you gobble, 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 the upstairs management look and say, bit of a waste of time giving him a human form of life. We should give him a form where he can, you know, consume and consume and consume. And so there's a danger of getting that kind of body. And maybe not for forever, but for some time. So all those things are there. All our attachments, our sexual attachments, you know, oh, you know, these. And then we end up with a kind of strange mind sexually in our next life. And we wonder, you know, God has cursed us. Why am I thinking like this? Why am I feeling like this? Why am I doing this? And it's because of us, not him. And he gets the blame. The God that they don't believe in gets the blame. And I wrote a song in the 70s about homosexuality, about our a young boy who had no one to love him gets picked up by someone who cared for him, and how he took on that lifestyle. And how, you know, fate and destiny and all these things are very hard to understand. But when you understand it through the from the eyes of and the ears of Shastra, hearing Shastra and reading Shastra, you realize that it's us who created this tangled web. Then we create the web, which is an incredibly intricate thing, and then we get tangled by it. We get tangled in it. We lose our spider's dexterity, and one day we find ourselves caught in it. And it's like then Boy George said to me one day, I think that, what's your stance on homosexuality? And I said, George, homosexuality is not a feature in the spiritual world. That's all. So you're banning me from the spiritual world. Your Krishna is banning me from the spiritual world. I said, no, George, I'm supposed to try to control my sexuality. I'm a heterosexual. And you're supposed to try to control your homosexuality. You're a homosexual. But we're both Atman, beyond these temporary things. I said, so if I've got to give it up, why I should be complaining as Hare Krishna, if you go on television, it's not fair. The homosexuals all been encouraged and the heterosexuals are being attacked. We've all got to give up this temporary stuff. It's only temporary. We've all been in those bodies sometime or other to have a taste of what it's like to be there. When the sexual energy gets too strong, you get so fixated in it. And if you encourage it, you know, keep itching it, like, you know, when I get a mosquito bite, I think, I am not going to itch this. I'm not going to itch it. And then I'm doing something and I'm, oh, no, no, no. And then after a little bit later, it's a bit more. And then, and it just gets worse, doesn't it? And every scratch you do, it just gets, And so sex life is like that, isn't it? If you get involved in it. Or even if you're not getting involved in it, but you think about it, it's just going to give you problems. I come home and I snap at my wife, and I know I've been thinking lusty things or I've been on tour. There's no other excuse for it. And when a man dies thinking of a lady, he's had a whole big, powerful sexual agenda for his whole life. and he leaves his body, he's going to get a lady's body. But he's going to feel like a man. So what does that make him? Then he becomes homosexual. And a lady that's a man, the same, you know, he gets a lady's body, feels like a man. We know what that is. And so these varieties, they're there, and we create them. It's not Krishna's fault. When George blamed Krishna, and I love him, and he's a fantastic person, but now he's doing the Buddhist thing. Now, Buddha, it's Krishna. For God's sake, George, it's Krishna. It's Krishna when he exhibits extreme intelligence. Because Krishna is intelligent. He's the extreme intelligence. He's so complex, no one can work him out. But when he's intelligent when he manifests as Krishna. But when he manifests as Buddha, he's even more trickier. And that you're worshipping Buddha because you see him as a soft option. The soft option in the West now is Buddhism. Very attractive. It's cool. You're a cool dude. You know, you can walk down the street like this. You can eat anything you like because the Dalai Lama does. And you can still have that swagger. And you feel cool. I'm a Buddhist man. One young lady, her sister, they came to me for past life. They want to know, why are we devotees in this life? I said, I don't know. Do you want to have a look? So they said, just please. So I took one back, and she was a devotee in a previous life, and she had some issues with a man and lost her spiritual status. And she'd come back to re-establish herself. The other one was a black guy in New York in a previous life. The other sister, nice little girl, she was a black man in New York in her previous life. And I said, okay, what's it like? Yeah, man. It's talking like this. Her sister was there. She was witnessing it. So I said, well, do you meet any interesting people? Like, do you go to church or anything like that? You know, because a lot of the people, they go to the gospel church and they sing these beautiful songs. No, man. So I said, well, do you see? Yeah, man, I see them. Krishna guys, I see them. Those Krishna dudes. Yeah. Yes, I see them, man. So I thought, wow. Did you see Prabhupada? Oh, maybe, man. I don't know, man. Like that. Then. Well, did you get a book? Yeah, I got a book. I got a book, man. It's like this. You're speaking like this. So I said, did you read it? No, man. No, man. I thought, oh, no, she didn't read the book. But they're good dudes, man. They're good dudes. That was all. Just appreciation and touching a book. Never read Devotee Birth. Krishna is fourfold bending form, bending over backwards. So he's bent at the head, he's bent at the waist, he's bent at the knees, and he's bent over backwards to try to help you guys, us guys, me, to reconstitute ourselves back. Like strangers, that's what we are. I fell down to earth just like a shooting star. Like strangers, how could it be that I could turn my back on all you'd offered me? My pride just pushed me away, and each life I live gets harder every day. Take me back if you've a mind to, let me try just once more. I can bear to be like strangers anymore. So when the soul means that, Krishna steps in and makes every facility for us. Everything's there. Everything's there to bemuse us, bewilder us. Everything there to clarify and resurrect us. Everything's there. Okay, I've gone over time. Sorry about that. Forgive me for not being able to say the shloka at the beginning. I'm just a dunce. And thank you for tolerating my craziness, my songs. By the way, that was the Everly Brothers song that I just changed the words to. So, are we all right? What time is the class finished? 8:30, isn't it? Okay. Thank you very much. I'm not going to ask if there are any questions because I'm not clever enough to answer them. But you answer all the questions yourself. You know the answers, every one of you. So come on, let's rock and roll. Rock and roll. God gave rock and roll to you. Gave rock and roll to you. That's why rock and roll won't die. It won't die because God said after the war, come, let's cheer this lot up. Elvis, get down there. Jerry Lee Lewis, get down there. Little Richard. Chris is knocking, but you won't let him in. Chris is knocking. Get down there. Everly Brothers, get down there. Like strangers. And he sent them all down to lift the world up. And then, okay. And there was a little boy called George Harrison sitting there about 11 years old going, keep a knocking, but you can't come in. Peggy Sue, Peggy Dream. Wow. There's another little boy there called Paul McCartney, 10 years old. No, he was 9. Oh, wow. That's good. You ain't nothing but a hand. Oh, wow. That's good. And it still starts to build, starts to build, starts to build, starts to build. And then the American invasion comes and wipes the floor with all our the Sheik of Araby songs that we was having on the radio. It was terrible. You felt like it was music to cut your throat by, you know. And then you heard all this incredible music. Sorry to keep you from breakfast. And it was so good. You know, I mean, can you imagine? Rave on, it's a crazy feeling. And I know. I was a 12-year-old when Buddy Holly died. It was the worst day of my life. It's so terrible. But then, so America's invasion completely invaded Europe and the world. And everybody was just completely, wow, there's hope. I was really ready to die with the more Sheik of Araby and all these songs. And then I heard all these songs. I thought, there's hope. And I was just, this music. And I was in Rahab at the time, by the way, Ram. And then the Beatles formed. Because of these people, the Beatles formed. Their first album was full of these songs from these 60s and 50s guys. And then their own songs came. And then they came, and then they came, and they came. And they wiped America clean with the British invasion. Yes, look at these fossils. Yeah, the English fossils. And they wiped the world. The world became cleaned by the Beatles because they were the B.A., the M.A., They were the M.A. in music. And then George came. He was the PhD in music. And what did he give? Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Vajami, my sweet Lord, my Lord. Isn't it? And it started back. And that time, there was a lovely little old man just said, okay, this is the time we go in and we do the business. This is the time when these idiots are going to finally be ready to hear in the West. I'll go. Oh, I'm sure he didn't actually say those words. But excuse me, Sri Prabhupada. But you get my meaning. And here we are because of him. Oh, happy day when Prabhupada walked. He washed our sins away. Okay, Hare Krishna.